Good morning. We welcome you to our service this morning, and we thank Robert for leading worship.
Lord God, we don't always want to accept that we have an inner child, one that longs to skip and dance with you. As we come to you this morning, we pray that you will take away all our stuffiness, all our self-importance, that we will be able to come freely into your presence with a childlike spirit and rejoice in your goodness and your love. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It only feels like 18 months since I stood here, but it's wonderful to be back and you'd be able to tell me whether it's wonderful to have me back in about, 45 minutes. We shall see. Depends how quick you sing and all those other things and all the habits that you've got out of, you know. So we'll whip you back into shape. Anyway, Bridget, you're going to lead us with our worship song.
Our first worship song this morning is In the Lord I'll Be Ever Thankful. We have so much for which to be thankful. The love of family and friends, the opportunity to enjoy each other's company in a social setting as well as in worship. For the autumn colours in our gardens and in the countryside. And for a glimpse of sun after yesterday's rain. Let us be truly thankful by singing together. Your Majesty. It reminds us of the sacrifice made by our Lord for our sake and our need to worship him in recognition of this. We can never do enough to repay God's sacrifice, but through his grace we can rid ourselves of the guilt of our wrongdoings and can try to serve him by serving others.
Thank you.
One day I'll master wearing a mask and not having your glasses steam up. Let's just come together in prayer and in fellowship. God the Father, we welcome you. And we welcome each other, male and female, each one made in your image. Yet each one of us are unique. God the Son, we welcome you. You walk with us every step of the way. You are our going out and our coming in. And God the Spirit, we welcome you because you are inside each one of us and you surround us so we are never alone. What a joy it is that you're walking with us in three parts and yet just one. That you give us hope. That you help us to set aside all the things that worry us and cause us strain. All the frustrations. We can bring them to you. All our hopes and ambitions. We can bring to you. And whatever we've said, not said, done, not done, we can bring it to you, for in you we're assured of forgiveness. And that forgiveness comes because you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross. And that image of the empty cross shows that you conquered death and that you are our life. So we focus on that empty cross as we say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to read to you Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You've made them rulers over the works of your hands. You've put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I suppose that during this rather extended period where we've been locked up, caged up, whatever you want to call it, because that's how it's felt. It's fascinating, though, to think from what that psalm has just said, that all the flocks and the herds, I didn't see them wearing masks, they've been running around. They've had their freedom. And there's a lot that's been said to say that nature has been recovering during that time. If you look at some of the roads and the way grass grows up the middle of it now, I would say it possibly has. But in a sense, out of a difficult time has come some things that we can be very pleased about. But something else has happened. Now, probably before COVID, the worst moments of greeting people that you've had was if you were in some foreign part and you had to try and remember the French, the German, the Spanish, the Italian, whatever it was you learnt, in some of our cases, years ago when we were at school. The stress of meeting new people, of welcoming them, hasn't been there. And we found new ways of doing it. I bet none of you would have ever thought about waving at a computer until you discovered Zoom. And now we all wave. And then you have that bit about, now, how close can, do I use my elbow? Do I, can I, ooh, better not shake my, ooh, whatever, and you rub it also. We've forgotten, in a sense, how to greet people. But then we've found new ways of saying hello and of mixing. That reading that we've just had tells us that things have been going on in the natural world during the time that we have been in lockdown. We've now amazingly come out of lockdown. Not that I can see any of you smiling, because you're not allowed to. But we've begun to move on. And we've got to recover our church. So I brought my little trusted tree trunk, which says the words, "Go serve." And let me tell you, COVID has not stopped us serving. COVID has opened ways for us to greet people and serve. We have a minister that Audrey knows well who puts his services online and announced that he was quite surprised. He'd gone to look to see who was watching and he discovered half his congregation lived in Uganda. I have a friend who goes to one of those mega large churches in America. And they said, before COVID, they had a congregation of 2,000. And then they went online, and they've got a congregation of 225,000. They had a gift Sunday and raised $100,000, but we won't go there. Even little Thetford, where we are, with our average congregation of 5 or 6, does a weekly bulletin, and we're now reaching 44 people. So there is opportunity for us to serve and to find new ways of greeting people and ensuring, because my goodness me, the message that we have is so needed. And we're going to sing that with our next hymn, 857, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky." Here I am, Lord. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Now, I think you youngsters are about to disappear somewhere. So we'll say bye-bye to you and off you go. Okay. No. I'm almost catching up, Audrey. Almost. I'm not going to read you the whole gospel passage for today. I've used my editorial right. So I'm going to read just the verses from 13 to 16 of Mark chapter 10. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. The essence of our faith is that childlike love for Jesus. So we're going to sing 799, "All I Once Held Dear, Knowing You, Knowing Me." I wonder how much during these COVID times, when you did leave your house, what you've changed. Because my reckoning is before you remembered your wallet and your keys. And now you remember your wallet, you remember your keys, you remember your phone, more keys, and you remember a mask. And sometimes, in case you forget, you remember a second one. And I suppose if we went through your cars now, you've probably got masks everywhere. You know, because you never know when you might need one. How life has changed. It's been pretty easy to actually feel alone during these past many, many months. And particularly for those of you who have lived on your own, to have felt cutting off. And then you may have joined into something online, or you may have got something through the post every week from somebody like me telling you you're not alone. But you are, because I'm not coming through the letterbox. Many of you will be grateful for that, but, you know, I'm not coming there too. You probably came up with some elaborate ways of talking to people. We happen to live in the same cul-de-sac as one of our daughters. The dog was a tremendous communicator because he didn't know he had to wear a mask and he wasn't supposed to come across. So he used to come. So we used to wave. We did the wave. If we were really excited, we waved with two hands. Didn't stop the fact that you were on your own. And some of you will have had those frustrations where you needed to get somewhere. One of our other youngsters. I know I'm only 20 on the inside, okay? It's just the wrinkles on the outside that tell a different story. But our eldest daughter was taken into hospital up north. They have them up there. And we couldn't go. We couldn't go to look after the grandchildren and things like that. So we've all had some strange feelings. Whether the grandchild in the end felt happy, I'm not sure, because we took over online teaching. She had grandma and me for 6 hours a day. You're supposed to sound as if that's a very good thing. Not the sympathy vote. It's been interesting and it's been difficult. But I hinted earlier that it's been a bit of a joy at times as well. We've gained a fifth grandchild during that time. I know I am very young, but you know, things to celebrate may well have happened during that time. If you've had a few things to celebrate, you can have lots of parties from now on and make up for it. Become the queen, have two birthdays a year, you know. You won't get the marching band past the door, but but what I really want to come to is it's been an opportunity to reassess faith. And that's why I edited the gospel reading this morning. Let's think about what was happening. Excited children were trying to get close to Jesus. And the disciples were acting as the bodyguards, saying, keep them away. their children. You don't know where they've been first. Keep them back. And Jesus not only went, oh, don't know, don't worry about it. He didn't do that. He became indignant. In other words, he was frustrated. He was getting cross because he wanted them to come to him. He wanted those children to experience him. And I want to unpick this morning why we have got to become childlike again. If you watch most little children, when they're 4, 5, 6, going to school, they're generally pretty happy going. Watch them when they get to 13, 14 and 15, and they'd probably rather go in the opposite direction. Something changes in that time. We go from the excitement and the openness of the child to that, it's geography. No, they never said that when I was coming to my geography classes. I shouldn't have picked geography. No, no. History. I wonder what it is that changes. Now, it may well be that in adolescence you learn to be cynical and sceptical. You learn to question. But let's go back to those little children rushing to school because they're excited. It might be because they're meeting their friends. It might be because it's their turn to look after the hamster or the mouse or whatever it is that's in the classroom. It might just be because they actually like their teacher. And they want to spend time there. Jesus was frustrated because that excitement was being stopped. And some of us are of a certain age where we were brought up to believe children should be seen and not heard. But Jesus welcomed those children. He wanted that excitement. Why? What is so special about being childlike that Jesus wanted to embrace it? And almost put it ahead of any concern or of other people. He wanted to make sure that children came to him. I'm going to suggest that it's because children have an open mind. I'm going to suggest that children bring a natural joy. I mean, if you think about it, even when they go into those mega star-shaped temper tantrums, you know, in the middle of the supermarket and the parents are looking everywhere else, the rest of us smile. Partly because we know what it's like, we've been there. But actually, we find it, in a sense, amusing that it matters so much to that child that they're going to have a temper tantrum about it. Children are open. They show their emotion and they want to absorb. They want to learn. They want to hear stories. I think Jesus knew that. I think Jesus knew that those children were a blessing. And if you embrace young children and they have an experience, it will stay with them. Every single one of us can think back to some wonderful, happy, little moments. We normally say we're looking through rose-tinted coloured spectacles and things. But we will know some of those happy moments. And a lot of those happy moments will involve either you being a child or your children or your nieces or your nephews or your grandchildren. You will have had that simple excitement. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that if you welcome young people and you give them a really good, positive experience, it will stay with them. They will grow because of that. Sometimes the adults have to be told off. And that's what Jesus did to the disciples. He said, stop it. Don't prevent those children from coming to me. I want to see them. Because if I meet them now, and they see me, they touch me, they hear me, and they speak to me, that will stay with them and it will change their lives forever. It will open up opportunities for them. They will tell other people. Because children tell their friends. Children spread the word. And if you give them positive things, they will share it. Jesus knew that. So that is the challenge that we now have. For those of us who are long in the faith, let's be fair about it, we have an opportunity to come again afresh. Come to act like those children, coming with an open mind, an ambition for the church. As many of you know, I'm the faith in action advocate for the Synod. And I make a point of saying it's faith in action as two words, not in action as one word. If you have a faith, you can recognize that the message that Jesus brought of sharing, of caring, of empathy, of understanding, of loving, of being, of giving of yourself. My goodness me, how we need to hear that. But more importantly, how those people out there need to hear it from each one of us. So that's why I edited the gospel this morning. We need to approach the gospel as children, ready to relearn, ready to retell, ready to be refreshed. We're going to sing. You're not surprised. 769, who is on the Lord's side? And if you thought you had to reach some high notes in that one, wait for the closing hymn. Let's have a moment of prayer. Jesus, you just weren't as meek and mild as we think. You weren't frightened to speak your mind, to challenge people, to change their thinking, and to give them understanding. So we pray this morning for all those who have to make decisions, whether it's in their families, whether it's in government. Help them to understand the relevance of your teaching and your way as they make those decisions. We pray this morning for all of those who find themselves in turmoil. Turmoil because they don't know where the next meal is coming from, how they're going to afford their children's clothes. Turmoil because they're worrying about a relative or a close friend that they can't give the comfort to. Worried about their jobs, their employment status. Worried that they can't afford to keep their apartment, their flat or their house. Help them to know they're not alone. Help them know that we will put our faith into action. Help us to build better ways. Help us to show our appreciation. Help us to share our blessings with others. And we know that there are people close to us who at this time need support. So we pray for Iris Meldrum. We pray for Richard. We pray for Mike's cousin Terry. And we pray for Joan Wade. Help their families and their friends, support them in the appropriate ways. And we also pray for those who are giving of their time, their efforts, particularly Adam and Miles as they run the London Marathon, as we sit here. We give thanks that they're running for good causes and that they are a witness to you. And now we pray for ourselves, that you will help us through the coming week, that in our ups and downs, we will discover that we're not alone and you're with us, walking the way, the commitment to to each one of us. In your name we pray. Amen. And now to our closing hymn or our aerobic workout, whichever way you want it to be. 116, Down from His Glory. Please, will you sit down? Audrey has a letter to read to you all.
And you know how you love me standing here at the end of the service. I've got the letter from John. Dear friends, at the meeting of the joint ministry group on Tuesday, I informed the representatives of my intention to take early retirement from stipendiary ministry and thus end my service to the churches in the Norwich area. My final day will be Sunday, the 31st of July, 2022. The main reasons for taking this decision are that Pauline starts receiving her state pension in February also. And also that as a result of his father leaving him some money, they have been able to buy their own house, which is in Middlesbrough. Moving to be nearer to Danny at university in Newcastle will also enable us to better support him through the last year of his studies there. I should be very sad to leave Norwich and all of you, but feel that this step is necessary for me to take. Grace and peace, John.
So let's just have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for John, for Pauline and for Daniel as they move on from next summer to a new world, a new life, new opportunities. But we also pray for this church, this group, the Norfolk and Waveney Partnership, that you will bring new opportunities here too and encourage each one of us to serve you as you call us. Amen. Please let's stand and let's share the grace to one another as we leave. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.